Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to actually turn to a passage of Scripture from one of Christ's apostles who followed him, and not reading traditional Good Friday, if you will, Good Friday services. I want to do something today and talking about a Good Friday reflection simply, and the invitation to God's place. So Good Friday really is that way being made for you and me. Have you ever been somewhere and you ask somebody, how do I get there? You ever done that? You want to go to, whether it be a destination Disney World or somewhere, and if you ask a man how to get there, what's he going to say? Especially if you're out in the country, they'll say, you go down by the, you see that red barn, you're going to take a left, and you're going to go out, and you're going to drive probably about, some 5-6 miles, and then you go on and on, and now we have GPS that tells us how to do it, right? And do you find it ironic that most GPS is already set to be a woman to tell you what to do? And is that not right? They're all set for women. You have to change them if you want a man's voice. And then you get an Australian man or something different. You don't get some farmer telling you what to do. Well, today I want you to talk about, obviously, Good Friday. We have a message to bear. Today is the day, everybody says, why is it good? Why is Good Friday called good? It really is that word beautiful. It's beautiful Friday. And because it's beautiful, because God has demonstrated his grace and his love to the entire world. He's gone back and reached back to old brother Abraham back in the day and said, hey, you believe by faith I was coming, and I'm told you I was coming, and therefore I have come. I've come to live a life, a righteous life, and therefore I'm dying on the cross for your sins and for mine, right? He died for your sins and mine. And then he says, listen, I'm going to live how long? Forevermore. We just sing about his holiness and about his soon return. And y'all, I believe it's getting closer and closer. Each day I come to work, I look up. Today could be the day. When that sun brightens in my eyes, I'm like, Lord, today might be the day that we get to see you face to face. Well, let me read that one scripture, one passage of scripture, and there's others that we want to quote, but we'll go in and read that one passage of scripture. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and the passage I want to focus on is verse 18 only, but man, 1 Peter is packed full. Peter walked in life with Christ, and I ask this question before I say this. Hopefully in life you've had a chance to experience the joy of being invited to a special place or to a special party or invitation. Anybody ever been to a wedding, a really nice wedding? You're like, that was a beautiful wedding. Yes? Two of you been to a beautiful wedding. All right, so sorry about that. But are you getting going to a nice place? Some people, a lot of friends of ours from Spartanburg call and say, hey, can you get me tickets to the Masters? Do they know what they're asking, right? Because it's a beautiful place. And I know Derek and several of our church members worked there during the week and said they would actually, if any flowers fell off the azaleas, they'd come in and dig up that whole row of bushes and put new bushes in. And he said they even replaced, a 63 or 65-foot tree overnight so that when the cameras hit it, it would still be that pristine place. They have a whole warehouse full of azaleas on the go, and it's filled up the next day. Anyway, it goes on. They want to keep the place, this beautiful place. And if you've been to Disney World, the same thing happens. That things are flipping at nighttime. People are working underground. They're trying to make it that experience when you go there. But how about God's place this morning? If you think about what heaven looks like, if you enjoy anything, waterfalls, rivers, lakes, the beach, if you enjoy any of that stuff, that's all God's creation that has been cursed by sin, right? All creation groans because of Adam and Eve's sin. Think of what heaven must look like. Think of where God dwells, his place of dwelling, what it's like. Yes, it's going to be beautiful. Yes, we talked about, there's a lot of songs have been sung about heaven, the information that we have. We know our loved ones are going to be there because they've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to take this and I want you to look at this passage. Let's read it and then we'll move on. And I want you to see this really quick today. Verse 18 says this, for Christ also suffered, how many times in your Bible? Once. For sins, that the just, that's Jesus, for the unjust. Brothers and sisters, that's you and me. Friends, that's us. The just, that's Jesus, for the unjust, that he might bring us, that's you and me if we believe, to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, help us to understand that we are undone without you, that life continues to move on. Yes, we'll have experiences in life that make us happy, and we'll have experiences in life that bring us down. But, Father, this is not just about a life here experience. This is about a hereafter that you're trying to put into our hearts and understand as we read what Peter wrote, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that you have a place for us. And you've told us in your word that you go to prepare a place for us. And if you have that place ready, you will come and receive us into yourself, that we might be where you are. And it's for always to be with you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Let me go to my notes just for a second. I want you to see this. Now, image receiving an open invitation. Here's the invitation to come to the most extraordinary place of all. Where would it be? What's your place here on earth? Where would you say, if I could get an invitation? By the way, anybody have Masters tickets? Alex's friend had tickets for the last 25 years. He goes, Mr. Smith, look how cool this envelope is. It was an actual hard green envelope with a gold seal. He goes, look how cool this looks. Just the invitation looks cool. And then you flip it open and he goes, look at these Master tickets. I'm like, are you rubbing this in or are you trying to share your experience with me? But he was so overwhelmed and how cool it looked. Everything looked from the knowing that you're going to get them and meet somebody to get those tickets. He's always wanted to go to the Masters. And then this friend revealed he got tickets. And he had to meet another business because they traded him off. The man had already loaned him to the, I guess, the first round to the first tickets. But he's like, I had to meet the guy in Simpsonville to trade. We had to trade off and pick up these tickets. He said, but look how cool this ticket is. And look how cool these badges are. And he couldn't get over just the invitation. So his anticipation for going to this beautiful place, and I think he's a very mediocre golfer, he just wanted to go for the experience. He was so excited that there's a nice place that he's finally going to get to go, something he had a dream since he was a kid. And it was cool tickets. I was like, that's nice. But think about the invitation you get, and sometimes we can get upset if we don't get an invitation to a wedding or to a party, especially when you're in middle school or high school. Old days, we used to have heartbreak at school because we get a Valentine's. If you got a Valentine, and not everybody in the class got a Valentine's. Now what do we do? If you write one Valentine's, you got to give every kid in the class a Valentine, right? Whether you mean it or not. Right? Isn't that right? That's the culture we live in. Well, here's what happened. The Lord Jesus Christ has opened up an invitation, a Valentine, saying, I love you, and it's open to anyone, whether we like it or not, right? There's people that we don't always get along with. But I want you to think about having an invitation, and as we open up there, 1 Peter, as he talks about it there in 3, verse 18, the just for the unjust. Keep that in mind that this Good Friday service is about the just, the living Son of God. And we talked about it. If you were not here Sunday, had the privilege of at Passover, that when we look at the sacrificial lamb, the Paschal lamb, the Passover lamb, it was inspected under its eyelids. It was looking, they had to make sure this thing was perfect. It was ready for the sacrifice because it had to have no blemishes. And as we talked about, when Pilate looked at Jesus, what did he find? No blemishes. I find no fault in this man. What really and truly did the scribes and Pharisees find in him? You know what their fault was they found in him? They said, he claims to be the Son of God. Was he the Son of God? There was no fault in Jesus, the Paschal lamb, the Passover lamb, the ultimate lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. There was no, as he was inspected by multiple people, there was none blemish found in him. Isn't that amazing to think about the comparison? As Jesus is preparing to die, as the sacrificial lamb is being prepared to die, it's all happening at the same time as the shepherds are inspecting the lamb that's going to die, the Passover lamb. Jesus is being inspected, and he's found without blemish. Well, on this Good Friday, let's take a moment to reflect on the invitation. It was Jesus Christ who extends the invitation when he was here on earth. Even before he came, he had prophets and preachers. He had angels. He had various ways that he said, listen, I'm coming. I'm coming, and I'm going to deliver you from yourself. I'm going to deliver you. What did he say when he was walking the earth? And we quote it oftentimes. Children learn it. John 3:16. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That was a promise from Jesus while he was here on earth. He was talking about himself. Well, we also notice throughout the generations, Jesus has sent messengers, people willing to carry his invitation far and wide. They speak to those who listen and believe, offering what? Hope and eternal life. We think back of the prophets. We think about even of Paul, that Paul was a persecutor. Anybody that loved Jesus, Paul hated you. And he was coming after you in his day. If he came into a service like today, Paul would bust open the doors, have us arrested, and even have some of us persecuted, even unto the place of death. That's who Saul of Tarsus was, but he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and aren't we glad? We have 13 letters in the New Testament from a man who hated the church of God, who fell in love with Jesus Christ. He was invited to participate, and he became one who was in love with Jesus, but also one who gave his life and gave us the word. He told us in Romans 3:23 a lot about himself. Paul even reflected on himself. I was the worst of sinners. I'm chief. Call me chief. Chief of sinners, that is. He said, for all have sinned and fall what? Short of God's glory. Do you know what your sins are? Are you aware that you sin daily? Those sins, yes, the nails put Jesus on the cross and held him there, but listen, your sins is what put him there. My sins is what put him there. Paul also wrote, listen, the wages of those sins that you have is death. That perish portion that Jesus talked about in John 3:16, that's what Paul was talking about under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The wages or the payment of your sin is death. But the gift of God, remember that invitation we talked about, that invitation to heaven? The gift of God is what? Eternal life in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not just eternal life. It's eternal life found only in and through Jesus Christ. That's why Good Friday is good. It's a beautiful Friday that his blood was shed for us as the original back in the Passover, that substitutionary death. As we look at that picture, the blood of a lamb was put on the doorpost and everyone who was under the blood was protected. And y'all need to know there were people who said, I'm not doing that. There were Egyptians who said, I'm not doing that. They'd heard about it. And everyone who did not put the blood across the doorpost, they lost their firstborn. The death angel come through and Jesus said, the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will what? I'll pass over you. And today, listen, if you don't take this serious, the Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son has died. And he says, when you accept Jesus Christ, when you say, listen, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. I believe this Good Friday, the celebration is about me. It's about me putting him there and him dying for me. Substitutionary death on the cross that I should have died. I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, would you give me eternal life? Would you save my soul? And listen, when you ask him, it's not about just the words. It's the heart that you want what Jesus gives you, that you believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. Like in the Old Testament, when the Lord looked and he saw the blood, he passed over his people. Today, there's no blood of a lamb, but the Lamb of God. When he looks at you today, he's going to look at you one of two ways, under the blood or not under the blood. We're all just justified in Christ because of Jesus, or we stand before God with no blood over the doorpost of our hearts. And listen, for the wages of that sin of standing unjustly uncovered is death. That's the perishing that Jesus said, you shall not perish if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's an exciting news this Good Friday. Would you agree? He said, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who was a persecutor of the church of God. He's telling you, listen, let me tell you my experience. Jesus saved my soul. By the way, to God's place, remember this, we got a few minutes left. It's not easy. It's narrow, and it's often filled with hardship, opposition, and loneliness from a worldly point of view. Jesus is always with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He gives us his Holy Spirit to walk us through this life. But listen, it can be a lonely place when you're a Christian. Your family, your friends, I don't want any of that. I want to get away from that. That doesn't stop us from walking the way and being his messengers in the current day that we live, the here before the hereafter. So those who follow Jesus are called to be faithful and courageous. Y'all, this is a big word in there, courageous. Does that mean you won't have fear? No, it's still being afraid, but still being willing and obedient to act on behalf of the Lord. There's still always fear because we are humans. We love attaboys and attagirls. We love encouragement. We're like, I can't tell my family, my friends about it because we always say it. If you're not careful, wherever you go, who's the hardest people to talk to about Jesus? Family. But who's the most important people? I mean, all are important, but who's the most important people that we should at least find a way to share Jesus with? And today we have multiple ways of doing that through text, through emails, through written letters, through verbal conversations, we must be about telling others about Jesus Christ. We must be courageous in this day that we live. And as we walk this path, we must fix our eyes on Jesus. The Bible calls him the author and finisher of our faith. Remember that it was through his death on the cross on this very Good Friday that the way to God's place was made available to all who would trust in him. Back to 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. This Good Friday, let us not only accept this invitation, but listen, let us walk it out. Let us live as we're on the way to God's place. Listen, God has a place. Jesus said, I prepare a place for you. This message is real. It's not just a Good Friday story. We've preached it time and time again. And listen, I guess, I presume I will preach it till Jesus comes if he gives me the air to do it. So go tell your family and friends, this is a beautiful Friday. Not just good in the sense that something tastes good or tastes bad. This is the beautiful Friday that the Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life for you and for me. And if we would only believe that by faith and ask him to come into our hearts and lives, the Bible says when God sees us, guess who he sees? He sees his son, Jesus Christ. We are under the blood. Let me pray for us. Father God, this is really complicated for us to understand. But Lord, so simple that even a child can believe it and understand. Your word is true. And Father, I thank you that you actually stand by what you say. I want to praise you publicly today and tell you that I'm so thankful that you're our God, that you make a way for anyone who would give their heart and life to you. Lord, this Good Friday, I'm thankful that I stand here on my way, on the journey, the narrow way to your place, to your kingdom forever. I bless your name. I love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.